Guys, glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. God told me this week that I can be victorious. I can overcome everything that's going on in my life. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling indeed. You know what he told me? He told me to quit living by the law. He told me to live by the Spirit. Just that simple. Live by the Spirit. We're going to look in Galatians this morning, and we're going to see just how to do that. We're going to see what the Apostle Paul has to tell us. So first, if I was to ask you, what was the one guiding principle that we should follow in life? I'm sure some of you tell me, read your Bibles, attend church regularly, maybe follow the golden rule, serve others. How about imitate Christ? There's a big one. Let's imitate Christ. We're going to look at Paul's answer to that question. So I'm in Galatians 5. We're going to look at verses 16, 17, and 18. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know, it's kind of comforting to me to read these words and to understand that probably one of the greatest followers of Christ had the same problems that I have in my life. The things that I fall for, the things that I do that I don't want to do. I know God is telling me to the contrary. This is the way you should live your life. But time and time again, I falter and I fall. I believe that many Christians don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, me included. As I grow and draw closer and start to understand. Too often we emphasize the rules of life instead of listening to the Holy Spirit and His guidance. So often preachers hammer on congregations about morality, but they teach very little about how the Holy Spirit guides you through these things. What we're going to look at today is the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. And you see, the real success to victorious living is how Christ speaks to us, how the Holy Spirit guides us, how God draws us. And I believe it's each one of our personal responsibility to learn to hear the Holy Spirit, how to live that Spirit-controlled life. In verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, victory doesn't come from following an external code. You're bound to fail if you try to do that. It comes from listening to that small voice that guides you. The word walk is used 32 times just in the book of Galatians, and it speaks of how we live our lives. The way we live, it's how we conduct ourselves as we interact with each other, as we try to present that picture of Christ in our lives. How can we surrender ourselves daily to the Holy Spirit, the guidance and the power? You see, the Spirit doesn't operate automatically in our lives or in our hearts. But He waits. He waits for us to yield our lives to Him. He's patient, just like God. The secret victory, the things that we don't grasp, is the ability we have to overcome those things in our life. If we would just quit reaching out and start reaching in. God has given us natural desires to be expressed in healthy ways. And Satan uses our sinful nature to take these healthy, natural desires and express them in ways that are contrary to God. You see, much sin is an illegitimate expression of a legitimate desire. I don't have to go into the list of those that we have in our world today. The things that are twisted, that are made evil, when God made them to be something perfect and something pleasurable. And see, while we'll never be entirely free from all the evils that causes our failure, our fallings, we don't need to give in to them. As we live our lives, we can become better and better at overcoming and seeing the goodness and not the evil. You see, there's a promised reward of walking in the Spirit, and that's moment-to-moment victory. I've said before, right across this church, there's a big tree in the neighbor's yard, and it's an oak. But it's a particular kind of oak. It's a pin oak. If you look out in the fall when the trees are losing their leaves, that pin oak's holding on to its. The colors change. They get golden. They get yellow. They get red. And slowly they begin to turn brown and drop off. As the maples and the walnuts, all the trees lose their leaves and they fall to the ground, that pin oak will be holding on to its leaves. They'll be brown, they'll be withered, they'll rattle in the breeze, but the pin oak holds on. A few may fall off, but not many. And we go into winter and the cold winter winds blow, you'll hear that tree rattle across the street. It'll lose some more leaves, but not a lot. The snows will come, the leaves will hold on, and there stands a tree. But come spring, come now, this time of year, the buds are starting out, the maples are starting their leaves. Now we'll look across the street, and we see the new life pushing the old brown leaves away. Now they're falling off. Now the pin oak is giving up the old because the new is growing in. And that's us Christians. We want to hold on to the old, the brown, the wrinkled, until the Holy Spirit speaks to us in that soft, sweet voice. And that new life starts to grow in us as we become stronger and stronger, and it pushes out that old. I want you to remember that picture the next time you fall or the next time you fall. You think about that huge oak tree across the street and how the Holy Spirit works as an example of how it pushes out them old dead leaves. It pushes out our faults away from us. But we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You see, our habits cling on. They don't want to give up. When you get discouraged, don't turn to the world, turn to the Holy Spirit. Because there is that inner struggle that we all suffer. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." All of us here suffer from that struggle. The good inside struggling against the bad on the outside. The indwelling Spirit always there, patiently waiting, waiting for us to turn to Him. It's a civil war, and we're all fighting it. The flesh wants you to live only humanly, and a new nature wants you to live for God's word. They're opposing each other. There's another scripture I want to look at. I believe this is Paul's personal testimony. It's in Romans 7, 15 through 25. First time I read this, I didn't understand it. I couldn't hardly even read through it. But as I read it more and more through different Bible studies and really took my time, and understood the words, I said, Paul's talking about me. He's talking about my life. Starting in verse 15, he says, For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You see, in my life, I've tried to will myself just to only do good. I promised myself I'll never stumble again. I'll never do that act that pulled me away from God. But my will is never strong enough. And I hate what I'm doing, but I do it anyway. For then I do what I will not to do. I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. See, I know better. I don't want to do it, but that sinful nature, by me trying to overcome with just the power of my will, gets its way. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul understood what it was to fight this battle. Even Paul suffered from things that he did not want to do, but found himself doing. And he doesn't say these two are fighting are equal. They're not. The Holy Spirit is infinitely more powerful than evil in our lives. What he's saying is Christians cannot simply use their willpower to overcome the flesh. You will never win victory on your own strength. The strength comes from the power of God through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that comes from you continually walking in love and guidance of God. It's like the man who walked out of a hardware store with a brand new chainsaw and a smile on his face. They told him in the store that that new chainsaw would cut down 5 big trees in an hour. He was a happy man. 24 hours later, he was back at the store unhappy. He said, You told me that this saw would cut down 5 big trees in an hour. He said, I can't cut down 5 trees in a day. So the shopkeeper took the saw and looked at it, took it outside and yanked on the cord, and it roared to life. And the man jumped back and said, What is that noise? So it's just like that. I'm impressed, Robin got it. We cannot overcome. We cannot be successful without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to cut down a tree with a chainsaw that's not running. How about spiritual freedom? Do you have that in your life? It says in verse 18, But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Christ came to free us from the law, from the burden of the law. He knew, God knew, that we couldn't live our lives that way. We couldn't be victorious. The godly life is not lived by following the rules of law, but is found in a life lived in a relationship with the Spirit of God. I have that wrote in my Bible. I have no idea where the quote come from. But I have it wrote in my Bible. We can fight against this world all we want to. We can try to change this world by our will alone, but it's not going to happen. For us to make any changes in this city that we live in, this town called Coshocton, the first thing we have to learn to do is live by the Spirit. If we can learn to ignore the law and concentrate on the Holy Spirit, everything else will fall into place. If your relationship with God is correct and is right, your relationship with your wives, with your husbands, with your children will be correct and it will be right. So how do we get this spiritual freedom? How do we connect with the Holy Spirit? You're doing it here today. You gather together in church to hear God's Word. You were here to share in Sunday school and again learn God's Word. Through prayer, spending time talking to God, listening to God. And the third is to allow yourself to be led by God. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, tries to guide you, be willing to take that path. Be willing when the Holy Spirit says, no, you don't need to buy that new car right now, to not buy that new car. Overcome the desire of the flesh to own that car. Or whatever the situation is. Doesn't matter how big or how small, the Holy Spirit is waiting patiently to guide you, to lead you, to do what is right. I remember watching an Olympic event. I can't even tell you what year it was. But it was a downhill skier, and he came from behind and won. And, you know, they're all interviewing him, asking what he did special, how he managed to turn it all around and make such a good run after his first run was so bad. And he said, I went back to the basics. He said, I didn't think about what my time had to be. I didn't think about what position I needed to have. He said, all I remembered was the basic moves. He said, I thought about my skiing. And he says, and oh yeah, I remembered to breathe. Sometimes I forget. I thought, man, so a guy has to remind himself to breathe. But in that moment, that downhill run, he just had to control his own thoughts. He had to allow his training, his inner being, to guide him and think about what he was doing. And I really believe that's what it is with a Christian's life. We need to get back to the basics. Look at what the Book of God teaches us. Look what the Holy Bible says. Those are our basics. Those should be what's controlling our lives. So how can you win the unrelenting battle between the world and between the Holy Spirit? First thing is, you have to admit that you're powerless to win without surrendering to God. It's not going to happen. Then you have to consciously submit to God and draw on His strength. His strength is there for each one of us. And then you have to cooperate with the Spirit and give Him the lead in your life. Being led by the Holy Spirit involves a desire to hear and readiness to obey. The sensitivity to discern between your desires and God's desires for your life. You have to have a willingness to give up those things that are destructive in your life. You'll find far more peace and contentment in the Holy Spirit than you will any material possession. Read your Bible. Set aside time to pray, to spend time with God. It's the most important time you'll have in your day. If you can do those things, a victorious life can be yours. We all please stand and we'll pray together. Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray this morning that all of us can turn to you. Through your word, Father, and through prayer, we can learn to hear the promptings of the Spirit. And I pray we'll be willing to give Him the leadership in our lives, Father, to guide us instead of the things of this world. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here that have not yet accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, today will be the day, Father, the day you will speak to their heart and you will draw them to you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.